It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The Open Championship this year is being held at Royal Port Rush in Northern Ireland.
Look at that. Good heavens. If you farted on the downswing, you'd fly over the hedge.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Open Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
It's not my fault. Nobody can understand what you're saying.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. It is the second hour of the program today. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM. The Fan. We have not crash landed from space. We have been here the whole time.
Yeah, we're still orbiting. We're still orbiting the show for another 2 hours.
So you're out entirely of the idea of shooting your ashes.
I'm out. I don't want
space.
Nothing to do with space. I don't care about space. I'm not in space. I'm not that. Yeah, just I'm out. I want to go somewhere that's symbolic and meaningful to me, and space is not that.
How often do couples not get like buried or placed next to each other?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I kind of wonder that.
Can you? Yeah, you don't want to get shot in a different spot than your wife does. You want to end up in the same location.
Well,
I imagine.
You definitely strike me as a guy that wants to be next to wife in the situation. I, however, feel like me and my wife could have different wishes.
You want to fly solo on your next journey?
I'm a naked dead body in a tree, and she's ashes in a wall. You know what I mean? I could totally see that happening. And maybe I'm a tree next to the wall.
Yeah, the weird one is, like somebody said, imagine that's like a kid or a wife or something, and that happens to him. Like,
so irate.
Yeah, that's where I don't know if you win the lawsuit, but that's where the anger comes in. Like, it's one thing if it's an older family member where you're like, hey, they're out of suffering, or this, you know, somebody who lived till they were 95 and what an incredible life. But if it's one of those kind of death stories, then yeah, dude, you're going to be livid.
We will talk with our good friend Josh Peterson in Omaha, Nebraska. Why, you might be asking. Just cause.
We want to talk college football.
Josh is a good dude. He loves college football. He's a sicko like us, like Tyler Ivins was yesterday. He's doing an interesting little project, too, as a like side deal podcast-wise, so we'll talk to him about that as well. I want to start the second hour of the program. And by the way, you can reach the Fan at the Fan text line, 503-864-6326. We treat you right before, during, and after the text.
Yes, we do.
Visit us at 1080thefan.com. Also, the YouTube chat is live. I'm going to start with college football.
Let's do it.
Because I'm slowly morphed into this. Yeah. Football's around the corner. I'm reading a lot more. Just getting into it. The Athletic. You ready for this one?
What do we got? Who's ranked? What do we got?
I got the best July 17th thing you could possibly
do. Yes, right up my alley.
College quarterback tears.
Yes, give me the tears. Give me the tears. I love quarterback tears.
I do too. I know it's like sucker material that just gets released every year, but I'm in. There are seven tiers according to The Athletic.
There's seven total tiers.
Seven. Seven is largely unproven group with some decent G5 returning starters, but also quarterbacks who haven't played. Tier six, quarterbacks have a lot of question marks, but there's talent or a trait that someone's betting on. Tier five, you've probably seen the quarterback before. Many have played well in college, but haven't put it all together consistently. Tier four, some are young, unproven starters with high potential. Others are vets who have flashed great talent but hit performance or injury speed bumps. Tier three, most teams be happy with a quarterback of this caliber, great ability, solid body of work, but they have flaws. Tier two, winners who have proven their mettle. They can carry the team, but have limitations. Hmm. And then tier one, the most talented.
Yes.
Okay? Tier one, are you ready?
I'm ready for this. Can I try and guess the tier one guys?
Yeah.
Yeah? How many names are there in tier one?
I was going to tell you this. 10.
10 names.
And I don't know if I agree that 10 names should be in tier one.
So, Nussmeier's got to be in there. LSU.
Here, let's do this.
Give me some dings and some buzzers. Nussmeier's back. He's a guy that I'm very intrigued by. At moments, looked like an incredible quarterback last year for LSU, and at moments, it felt like lost them games.
Correctamundo. I don't know if these are actual rankings in the tier one. It's just listed.
They're just named.
Way.
Yeah, sure.
So, I don't know.
Klubnik, who is going into year four as a starter, I'm assuming, got to be it. John Mateer with what he did at Wazoo last year, tier one guy. Drew Aller getting to the semifinal. How far did they get last year? I think semifinal. Let's see. Lenora Sellers, probably South Carolina.
Yeah, I love Lenora Sellers.
Okay, we're at about five names. Mm-hmm. Are they putting Arch Manning in there already?
That's four.
That's four names. Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, five.
Five names.
Sorry, yeah.
Are they putting Arch Manning in there already? Wow. Okay.
Controversial.
Very controversial.
He should be, by definition, the tier two or three guy.
Yeah, I'm like scrolling through just like general starting quarterback
names.
There's
an obvious one that you're not thinking of in a conference that doesn't get a lot of respect.
Sam Levitt.
There's a playoff quarterback. I didn't say they went very deep in the playoffs, but there is a playoff quarterback you're not thinking of.
Is Kevin Jennings in there? SMU.
Correctamundo.
I mean, now we're losing the plot a little bit.
That's not it, by the way.
I know there's more.
There's another name.
I don't even want to guess any more names because I don't think anybody else belongs in this category.
You guessed a young quarterback.
DJ Lagway's probably in there.
Correctamundo. Yeah,
that's just, what are we doing?
Yeah.
If there's anybody else, I mean,
There's one
is
more
the
name.
Illinois quarterback
no,
on there?
No, Altmaier's not.
Altmaier. I'd argue Altmaier should be ahead of the other guys.
I'm telling you 100%. I want to be transparent this year in football, okay? If we're wrong, we're wrong. We're right, whatever. Not familiar with this name at all. I'm not going to act like I know a whole lot about this guy, and I don't know how or why he's in tier one, but he is.
Well, now you're making me wonder. Is it the kid at Baylor?
Nope.
No. Robertson, I think. Sawyer Robertson, I think, is his name.
It is not Sawyer Robertson.
A name that you're not familiar with.
At a school that I'm like, are they going to be good? Are they supposed to be good again?
That's a hell of a tease. I'm scrolling. I'm trying to look.
You're not going to guess.
I'm not. Okay, give it to me.
Josh Hoover, TCU.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that. Would have never guessed that.
You want to tell me about Josh Hoover?
Did Josh Hoover have a good year last year?
Absolutely.
Now I want to look up Josh Hoover stats.
If you're tier one, you better have had a good year last year.
I actually hard disagree with half the names on that list.
I mean, tier one shouldn't be 10 names.
If you're
long.
Giving me a tier one, it is Klubnik, it is Nussmeier, it is Drew Aller,
yeah.
And probably Lenora Sellers. And I don't know if I'm going any deeper than that.
You can even make an argument
maybe
that
Mateer.
Sellers is tier two because he's still so young.
He's still relatively young.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, tier one is for the guys that have played longer than that. So
Josh Hoover last year, third year TCU, so somehow he's technically only a sophomore. I don't know how that works. 27 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Yeah, that's a good season.
I mean, fine.
TCU wasn't great.
I don't know if I'm calling that tier one.
Whatever.
Carrying a team.
Tier two, the Baylor kid is on there. Sawyer
Robertson.
Yeah. There's a guy playing for Mario.
Carson Beck, baby.
Yeah,
this is the year.
Your Altmaier is there. Iowa State.
Oh, Rocco Beck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine Haynes King at Georgia Tech's on that list, probably.
Haynes King! And there's one more. He's real loud about himself. He's got aspirations to win the Natty this year.
Oh, Diego Pavia.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Vanderbilt's coming for you, man.
Tier three, Indiana's quarterback now, formerly of Cal.
Mendoza.
Correctamundo. Duke's quarterback, replacing Malik
Mensa.
Murphy.
Well, I can't remember his first name.
Darian.
Darian Mensa from Tulane. He's a transfer kid.
Kind of impressing
you. Dude,
right
I'm ready
now.
To go. I got
turned on.
Guns in the hip. Let's go.
He's a Big Ten quarterback, formerly of the SEC. A lot of controversy around this kid.
Big Ten quarterback formerly of the SEC.
Yeah.
Interesting tease there.
Big Ten school formerly of the Pac-12.
Was that Nico?
Nico!
Nico!
Ah, dude, that's one I forget about. That's UCLA is just so out of sight, out of mind.
A guy that I thought was going to be amazing because the first play I watched him play, he ran 77 yards on my team at Reser Stadium.
He's Taylen Green at Arkansas. Green.
Yep.
They got Petrino back for another year. It's a big year for Man Boobs Pittman. He's probably going to get fired.
I'm surprised he hasn't been fired. Yeah. This is one for me that I don't know why I have such kind of high expectations, but I think because he's returning and I really like their coach, I think he's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Avery Johnson, Kansas State.
Avery Johnson at Kansas State had an underwhelming first year as a starter. He was kind of in the same camp as the Jackson Arnold cat at Oklahoma, where Kansas State and Oklahoma had these quarterbacks, Will Howard and Dylan Gabriel, and they moved on from both of them to pave way for the younger guys, mm-hmm. and both of the younger guys didn't quite live. Arnold's transferred. He's now at Auburn.
Yeah.
And Johnson was a guy who came in as, this guy might be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And he was fine, but he underwhelmed, I would argue.
Boise State's quarterback makes a tier two list.
What's his name?
Maddox Madsen.
That's right. He's back for another year. He was solid last year, obviously carried by Genty, but now he's going to have to take a bigger role in the offense.
Utah's quarterback, Devon Dampier.
Dampier's back for another year. Yeah, he played well in the back end of the season.
Reed at A&M.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marcel Reed's a good athlete.
Gio Lopez at UNC.
Yeah, I got nothing for you there.
Eli Holstein at Pitt.
Yeah.
And tier two, Dante Moore.
Dante Moore, tier two. That's right, man. Right, tier two. Woohoo! We did it.
You know who else is tier two?
Who else is in tier two?
Come on.
Malik Murphy.
Malik Murphy.
Malik Murphy, tier two.
Yeah, buddy.
They've been one of the better starting quarterbacks in the ACC last year.
I mean, come on.
Set a he set some record at Duke. I can't remember. Was it touchdowns or yards? He set some passing record at Duke last year.
You know what I'm really bad at?
You're
I'm
trying
really
to find our
bad at finding
song?
Any drop ever when I need it live on
I
the show.
You.
I got the fight song, I'll but the Yago Beaver I can't find. But yeah, Malik Murphy did make tier two.
And that is still one of the more...
Yeah!
Interesting storylines for me early in the year. And it's obviously local bubble related, not nationally speaking, but local bubble of just, man, that was such a shocker to me when he transferred there. He was a starting quarterback in the ACC, and he transferred to Oregon State. And one, it shows you that they got a little bit of money to spend, and they put it in the right spot because they desperately needed a quarterback. Like, dude, if he plays the level that he played last year, and your defense maybe takes a slight step in the right direction with Trent Bray, you're looking at 8 or 9 wins considering the schedule that you're playing. You got a chance to beat Cal, an ACC team, right out of the gate at home. Like, that's going to give you some renewed hope going into the Pac-12 era.
I'm asking sincerely, by the way. Oh, by the way, that was tier three.
Oh, okay.
I said tier two, didn't I? Dante and Murphy are tier three.
The disrespect.
Well,
nobody's giving us a chance this year, Bob.
Look, you know my thoughts. Novosad's going to be the starting quarterback of Oregon this year.
Of
it's going to happen.
It is.
Okay? Hold that for the old takes exposed.
Yeah. I still got my sticky note of Dante Moore Heisman.
Well, but like, how is Dante Moore tier three, but guys who I've seen do good things or are in similar situations are tier four? Like, Dylan Raiola is tier four.
That's an interesting one because I think they're somewhat comparable. Like, Raiola was fine, but bad
he
at times.
He wasn't amazing.
No,
but
and
he was
a true
fine,
freshman.
And he was a true freshman, and he played the whole way, yeah. Whereas...
I think you grade on a curve with true freshmen when they struggle that way.
That one kind of caught my eye, and I know they had a very bad year one, but Noah Fifita is tier four?
They were bad last year, so maybe that's just a...
He threw a lot of picks.
He did not live up to the hype and expectations. The interesting one for me is that you can have... And this, I saw somebody put these together... a couple of weeks ago when I was looking through some college football notes, but DJ Lagway is in tier one at Florida.
Right.
He is coming in with the, oh my God, this guy's the can't miss. Oh, here he comes.
He's going to keep this guy employed if he lives up to what
they're
saying.
He very well might. Florida also, again, has one of, if not the hardest schedule in the country. And so them having a good year is going to be incredibly challenging for them. They're still young in a lot of spots. There's more talent around him. Go look at his numbers last year and Dylan Raiola's numbers last year. And one of those guys is tier one, one of those guys is tier four.
Well,
and they were almost identical, statistically speaking.
Right. Well, but remember, what week did he end up starting
for Florida? Lagway didn't start the entire season, and then even when he was put in as the starter, he got hurt, and I think he missed the Texas game, if I remember correctly. So there is that unquestionably. He played fewer snaps. I'm not arguing that.
Now,
but
was he the higher recruit coming out of high school?
I think they were legitimately one and two. I think they were the number one and number two quarterbacks, so, depending on the outlet you looked at.
I think one that has to do with SEC, does it not?
I mean, he was 12 touchdowns and 9 picks.
Lagway?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
For a true freshman, that's not bad at all. I just find it interesting that that's good enough for tier one, but some of these other guys are tier three or tier four.
I don't know how they parse this stuff out, man. Like, how do you determine who's two and three? What is that real difference?
Right. Of his 12 touchdowns, two, three of them came against Sam Houston State.
Well, that's the Jaden Daniels thing when he won the Heisman. Was like, it wasn't that he wasn't deserving. It was just his... He was a stat patter.
Yeah.
They'd play garbage-ass teams, and he'd have 7 touchdowns, and it'd be like...
He'd torch him.
Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah, his numbers are slightly better than a Penix or a Knicks or whoever.
Yeah, and the numbers are incredible, but when you dive into the details of it, it didn't all come against Alabama or
most of it came
Georgia
against the slop.
Or,
So,
And you got to beat up on the slop. Nobody's making fun of that. But
I tend to agree with that.
I think we're too willing, and I think we do this in the NFL, too. Like, when I think of a tier one of NFL quarterbacks, to me, there's only 4 names on that list. And maybe some people disagree with that.
No, I think most people
would like
Mahomes, probably agree with that.
It's Allen, it's Burrow, and it's Lamar Jackson. And outside of that, nobody else to me has shown the consistency and the longevity and the high level of success year in and year out to be in that category. That's the way college should be. Like, even Mateer, for as good as he was at Washington State last year, I don't know if I'm ready to put him into a tier one category. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he has the ability to be in that category.
But if you're going to put Arch in tier one, which
and Arch
I
should
talk
not
about
be
Arch,
in tier one.
But
like,
if you were going to, Mateer would have to be.
Like, he's played 2.5 games in his career. I'm rooting for him. I like the Mannings. I hope he has success at Texas, unless it comes against my team in the playoffs, if we get that far. But this idea that we're just going to crown him X, Y, and Z, I find fascinating.
Well, there's something about the tier one thing that I want to talk about with you that we're against it already. I got a cut from Arch. We haven't even talked. Arch had a big get together at the SEC media day. He had a swarm of people around him.
Yes, he did.
So we'll hear from that, and we'll talk a little bit more about the quarterback stuff in college football next on The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Just talking during the break about how much money Dirt spent at Pronghorn. What's your guess, Swigard, to play around at Pronghorn, which is private?
Was this in peak? This was summer?
This just happened. Peak? Yeah, it was on his bachelor party trip.
Ah, probably $250 for the round.
Want to guess again?
Three?
You're in the ballpark.
$350?
You're in the ballpark.
Wow.
Can I take a brief moment to
lunch and polo?
God, yes.
$4 bills.
Yeah, it was expensive day. Can we just take a brief moment too? What's this gal's name that's doing the course interview? Is it Kara Wilson? Is that what her name is?
Is that Kara K. Wilson?
Yeah, the tall gal.
Kara K.
The British
Wilson?
Gal who got all upset with the tampon thing with Tiger and Justin Thomas a couple years ago?
No, that's Kara, but
she's towering over Fitzpatrick.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like this, yeah. We need to find a new on-course interviewer.
Why?
This is offensive to the shorts. To my short kings out there like Matthew Fitzpatrick, you cannot have a lady a foot taller than him interviewing him.
His wife
is
taller than him, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, but that he chose that. He didn't choose this interview. I feel bad for him right now.
Why? Because he's slightly looking up?
I'm heightist, yeah. She shouldn't be allowed. She should have to sit down to do these interviews. Put him in a chair. Put him in the same, even playing field. I'm rooting for my guy Fitzpatrick now. It's an embarrassing look.
Did you contemplate getting with a really tall woman at one point in your life?
I mean, it would have been cool to be like 6'7".
That is Kara Robinson Banks.
Kara Robinson Banks.
We were close.
Remember she got all offended with the Tiger Justin Thomas tampon thing? It's like, it's just a joke. Come on, come down.
We were talking college quarterbacks, the tier rankings.
Yeah. Husky listener wants to know where DeMond Williams
no, thank
is.
You.
What tier is he on?
I meant to mention that. He is in... Tier four. He's with Raiola, Fifita, Arnold, Sayan from Ohio State.
Yeah.
Jalen Daniels, who's been playing at Kansas.
Jalen Daniels being that far down is interesting. I know they got off to a really bad start last year.
He was so bad at the beginning of last year.
He was, but then what did they do in the second half of the year? I mean, they kind of became the team that we thought they were going to be.
Aiden Childs is in this tier. Miller Moss is in this tier. Preston Stone is in this tier. Ty Simpson and Gunnar Stockton, who I may have mentioned, Bryce Underwood is in this category. Even though he hasn't
interesting
played it down.
Tier four. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's some names in tier four.
You want to feel old, by the way. Speaking of Big 12 quarterbacks, and Daniels made me think about this at Big 12 Media Days. Somebody went around and showed the quarterbacks all of the maybe not just quarterbacks, but players in general, all of the NCAA football covers, and can they name the athlete?
Uh-huh.
And the number of guys that they couldn't name made me feel really sad.
Yeah, I would like imagine just, there's some names on there.
When,
like,
when the Joey Harrington cover came up, they all were like, number three at Oregon. Who the hell was that? No idea.
By the way, coming in at tier six, maybe a name you're familiar with.
There's a tier six? We go all the way to six?
Robbie Ashford,
yes.
Where's he playing?
Oregon Duck legend. Robbie Ashford, last check was at Auburn. I don't think he's there anymore.
He's not at Auburn. He's playing for a former Pac-12 coach.
Where did he go? Wake Forest.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Look at that.
Drew Pine is on the
Drew
tier
Pine.
Six.
He's still around.
You know where he's at?
I have no clue where Drew
Bowling
Pine is.
Bowling Green.
Yes, you're damn right he is.
I'm trying to see if there's any other funny names down here.
Tier six is almost as offensive.
Kitna's kid.
Yeah, what happened? Didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he get off on that?
Well, he's playing in college football.
Shouldn't use that phrasing either. I apologize.
He's with Dilfer.
Oh, at UAB?
UAB.
The UAB, Alabama Birmingham.
The Blazers.
The Blazers of UAB.
Washington State's quarterback is also on this tier six.
Is their starter supposed to be this year?
Zevi? Zevi or Zevi?
Is he a transfer from South Dakota State? I got to look into my Cougs. I haven't seen much about them yet.
Eckhaus. I think it's Zevi or Zevi Eckhaus.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong on that Coug fan, I apologize.
Coug fan, Patrick Harris.
The boys of the board had screwed it up.
We got a Pac-2 guy on the station now.
We do.
Both Pac-2s are represented.
I put it in archive. Let me get that for you.
I'm trying to see the most.
Because there were two of them, and the tricky part was we were laughing so hard. There was giggles
it was too
over
good
the top
of
it, so I couldn't get a true clean one.
I'll try not giggle next time you do it.
Malachi Nelson's tier seven.
Yeah, I mean, that should be like tier 13 at this point. Guy's transferred three times in 5 months.
That's probably the most notable name on tier seven.
Okay.
It's that name was a five-star.
What about Rashada at Sacramento State? Does he still have a tier?
He is not on this.
He's not even on the list.
No. Okay. I'll go back and look, but I'm pretty confident in telling you he's not on this list at
tier
all.
Tier 19.
The quarterback thing is interesting, though. I mean, quarterbacks in the NFL, we know their power and what they mean to teams. I think this is been happening in college, and I think it's interesting looking at the list. Arch Manning at SEC Media Day, we never got to this because we had Young Hansen, we had Adam Silver News, you know, just reacting to a lot this week. He was swarmed by media members. I thought this was a really good, thoughtful answer. I don't know why it says ESPYs under his name. That makes me nervous. But here he was.
He's going to get saved over.
Dude, at this point,
it's going to be a Gillis joke.
Buck taking more of our audio. He played our Kershaw cut, by the way, for a report that you pulled, the 28-second one.
28-second clip for a report?
And Rob goes, how long is this?
It's half the report. All right, now it's time for the read.
He was asked about, you know, have you talked to Quinn Ewers at all? Quinn Ewers, a starter from last year. He's now in Miami with the Dolphins. And, here's Arch Manning.
Yeah, I learned so much from Quinn in my 2 years behind him. I think he handled it like a pro. It's definitely not easy having me as the backup with all the media, but he's always been nice to me and good to me, and I'm forever grateful for him. And I actually texted him the other week for advice on 2 minute, what kind of plays he liked to start with.
I'm rooting for him. I'm not going to do the whole,
I like the Mannings. No offense. I love Mannings. Manning Bros, number one.
Look, who doesn't like the Mannings, okay? There's a bit of a prove it.
Yeah, I mean, there should be for everybody. That's the whole thing with Tier 1. Like, I got guys, you can feel however you want about Drew Aller and where he ranks as an NFL prospect, but he's taken his team to a Big Ten championship in the semifinal in the playoff. You feel however you want about Cade Klubnik at Clemson, who has been up and down undoubtedly in his career and came in as a highly touted prospect. He's grown into a great quarterback, and he led them to the college football playoff last year. Like, I have bona fide track records with some of these guys. If you're telling me you think by the end of the year Arch Manning will be in there, that's fine to have that opinion. He's an incredibly talented player, and the recruiting services had him ranked as the number one quarterback in the country. So there's something there. But until you've seen it, I have a hard time saying he will carry them or he is this until I get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, I think you could put Mateer, Sellers, Lagway, Leavitt, Jennings, Hoover, and Arch in a
Sam
tier
Leavitt
two.
Led Arizona State. He wasn't single-handedly, but he was an instrumental part of Arizona State going to the college football playoff last year.
Yeah, so your tier one would really be what? Three guys?
It's not that long for me, man. That's the interesting thing, and I think it's an overarching storyline of the entire sport. You have a couple of guys who have proven it, who have been very good for a long time.
Right.
There doesn't seem to be a runaway freight train in that position. Again, maybe Arch Manning becomes that. But that guy of like, oh, God, if we face him, we don't have a chance in hell. I just don't see like a Cam Newton in this crowd,
so
if Kate you will.
So Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenoris Sellers, these guys, Drew Aller.
They're all very good quarterbacks.
Shaking your boots.
I don't look at them and say, oh, my God, they're unbeatable with Klubnik at quarterback. Or how are you going to beat Drew Aller?
But see, how much of that in college, I would ask, is more geared towards the rosters seem more even.
Yeah, that's a part of it for sure.
Than just saying like the quarterback Cam Newton, obviously amazing. But if Cam Newton from when he played, which was one of the greatest seasons we've seen, played this year, we might go, man, that kid's really good. But
that was the unique thing about him is he didn't have a lot of talent around him anyways, and he kind of did it by himself at Auburn.
Right.
When a lot of these Heisman Trophy quarterbacks have a ton of talent around them, and that might end up being Arch. That's for sure part of it. I think part of it, too, maybe not
because I don't
want to
face Drew Aller.
He's good. He doesn't shake me in my boots. Threw a pick to decide the Big Ten championship game.
He also threw some freaking darts in that game.
Our defense was sick. Okay.
That was the minute your defense unfolded. Like, they just like, oh, no, we're not good anymore. Like,
we're done being good. We're not going to stop anybody
but
the rest of the year.
Nussmeier's interest, like, these guys scare me, but to your point, they don't scare me in the way traditional past names have.
There doesn't seem to be an unbeatable player in that mix.
But I think that's more because of the team parity going on in the sport than it is a knock on the player.
I think there's also a part of it, too, where do you fear the coach? Like, for Aller at Penn State, do you fear James Franklin in a big game? There's some of that, too.
I don't know if it's I fear Franklin versus, like, I think he's done a really good job filling his roster, getting all these guys to come back.
No doubt. They're a very talented
team. It's a combo
team.
Package with him. Now, Dabo? Yeah, a little bit.
You fear Dabo?
I can't believe they won the ACC title last year the way they did.
They made the college football playoff
field goal.
They pushed Texas a little bit in that playoff game, too.
They did. Yeah, they weren't pushovers for sure. Other than that, I don't know.
I think that's what's going to make it such a fun year.
Do you fear Sark? I know.
No, I mean, yeah, but no.
Who do you fear in that sport? Is it really just Kirby?
It's really just Kirby, to be honest with you, at this point.
Not even Ryan Day.
Because Ryan Day, unless you're Michigan, I mean, Oregon beat him last year, and I know the second game went terribly, but he won a national championship. But they're all great coaches, but there's not that Nick Saban type out there that's going to dominate the sport, it doesn't seem like, and maybe Kirby does that again at Georgia. I think it just highlights we can all complain about the changing and the roster moves and the NIL and the transfer. I feel like we have as even a playing field atop of the sport going into this year as we ever have,
yeah.
And that's a really good thing. And it's not great for every school. There's haves and have-nots. That's the way the sport's always been. You tell me there's 10 or so teams that have a legitimate chance to win a national title this year, that makes college football incredibly fun to watch.
Let's talk a little bit more with our friend Josh Peterson in Omaha for the Daily Ticker next. On the Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry, hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker time, brought to you, as always, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. They crack open today's Daily Ticker with Pelicano. Discover Pelican's summer seasonal cerveza and drink in refreshment. We were trying something today that we've actually been wanting to try a lot, but sometimes it takes a buddy in the industry to be like, hey, can you be our guinea pig in case this doesn't work out? We have Josh Peterson, our friend from Omaha, who is not only on the phone with us for the Daily Ticker, he's also live on the YouTubes this morning. Josh, do you read me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see you. Can you see me? Can you hear me?
We can see you and we can hear you. That's the weird part about doing the video interviews.
I can't see him. I don't put YouTube up on my computer.
I just do it to keep an eye on the old
chat.
On the chat to see if anybody's got a question or a point that people want to bring up on the show. So that's the strange thing is we can't actually see each other. I can look at my computer screen and see you. But wonderful to talk to you nonetheless. He's our good buddy Josh Peterson. At Josh Tweeterson on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Let's get to what you texted us about yesterday, because I find this to be fascinating. So you sent us a text yesterday about this thing that you're doing. Just almost sounds like torturing Nebraska fans who have been just terribly tortured over the last 25 years about what they've suffered since firing Bo Pelini. What are you doing and where did the idea come from?
So I've been putting together a project with my co-host on all of us in the industry, right? We have a million side gigs. One of my side gigs is called the I-80 Club. It's on Patreon, so we have paid subscribers over there. And we were doing a post-game show following the USC game last year, which Nebraska lost in typical, normal, heartbreaking fashion, right? And he was like, this has all the hallmarks of all these losses that Nebraska's had over the course of the last decade. So it got this idea of, what if we could rank all 70 losses? Well, at the time it was like 68, but now it's 70. What if we could rank all 70 losses that Nebraska's had over the last decade mathematically? What would actually be the worst? And so I took this project upon me. I started writing the scripts in January. It's called the Groin Kick Chronicles. And today, episode number 5 came out, and it is games ranked 30-21. And so, boys, we are getting into the pain cave now. The first game that featured an overtime defeat in the last decade happened today. The Final Four blowout losses happened. So it's all one-score losses for the next few episodes as we wind this project down. It's been pretty wild.
How depressing is it to actually have to talk about these memories?
Dude, it is wild. So I go through my research process has been, I mean, it's just watching highlights, right? And putting together the scripts and what happened. And you know, like over 10 years, you get a little bit numb to it because it's over 10 years. You're watching 12 games a season. And it's just like, wow, that kind of rolls right into the other. That was pretty weird. How did they lose that game? And then you spend like 5 hours on a Saturday afternoon going and watching highlights and typing up the script. And it's just like, okay, it's actually maybe worse than I kind of realized in the moment, even though I've been watching it the entire time. And I had a couple of subscribers help me put together the formula because I am not a math guy. I'm not a Google Sheets guy. So these guys were helping build the formula. And every few hours, they're just like, what the hell is this? Like, what are we doing with ourselves right now? So it was definitely a torturous project and a process at that as well.
Yeah, Josh Peterson is our guest, 1620 in Omaha. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Josh Tweterson, talking some Big Ten and Nebraska football. It is funny because I think it's a great idea that every fan base can go through. We all have, like, not many fan bases have as, like, brutal of losses as Nebraska has suffered. Every time they're in, like, an overtime game, I see one of those graphics that pop up, like, Nebraska hasn't scored a point in overtime in 17 years. And you're like, wait, what? Nebraska hasn't won one possession. Like, it's just all these
they
wild.
They start at the 25 like,
wait,
and haven't scored.
What? Like, how is this possible? There's a lot of those, but every fan base, I think, can relate to that. Now, let me ask you this, because we do a segment every Tuesday called The Mail Sack, where we have listeners, you know, send in questions and we answer them sports, non-sports. And one of the questions we got on Tuesday was, who's a team in the Big Ten that you view to be a sleeper? And Sprague looked at me and just laughed, because I do this every year. And I genuinely feel like 7 straight years I've been like, you know, I kind of like Nebraska this year. I like the coach. They got a returning quarterback. I like the schedule. You beat Cincinnati in week 1. I like their chances. And I again pick Nebraska. Am I falling into the trap, or is this finally the year?
Let me add this real quick before I answer the question. They also have not gotten a first down in overtime since the 2014 win over Iowa.
Like, so how is that possible?
First down. And because of the Illinois game last year, they now have negative yards. Their last 8 overtime.
That's right. Raiola took like 7 sacks, and they were at like the 50-yard line in overtime. I'd never see that before.
There's a screenshot. I think it's like 3rd and 42. It is one of the most hysterical and also depressing things you'll ever see. To answer the question, though, like, I figured that this would be the offseason that I think people kind of come home to that, right? Because it's year 2 of a starting quarterback in Dylan Raiola, who came into Lincoln with all sorts of expectations, the first 5-star quarterback the program has gotten since, I don't know, like Eric Crouch, and that was in the, you know, infancy of recruiting rankings. And Dana Holgorsen is the offensive coordinator. Like, I think if you are a believer in them being a dark horse, I would probably start with Holgorsen because of what he is able to do, the ability that he has as a play caller, and he's happy to say this, he doesn't have to worry about the other stuff anymore because he is just an offensive coordinator and a play caller. Not to mention, in this era of college football, he's not going to have to recruit like he would have as an OC even 15 years ago. So I think you would start there. You know, the Matt Rhule year 3 stuff is really, really interesting. I've done a couple of deep dives on it as of late, looking back at what happened with Temple going into year 3, what happened with Baylor going into year 3. And, you know, the big similarity is returning quarterback. And also that they had lost a lot of one-score games at Temple and at Baylor in years 1 and 2, and then they were able to flip that. The biggest difference, though, guys, is college football, and you know this, college football roster construction in 2025, way different than it was in 2019, even, let alone 2015, when he was at Temple. And so you look at like the returning production, Nebraska way lower today compared to what it was for Temple going into year three when they went 10-4, or Baylor going into year three when they went 11-3. So trying to figure out like kind of that give and take has been, I mean, it's really the question of the entire offseason. I find myself still in kind of the 7-5 range, mainly because I need to see it before I believe it. But I suddenly feel like I'm on an island yet again talking Husker football locally, where one of the more respected columnists in the state, he said 9-3 the other day. And so everyone's like, oh my gosh, are they going to go 9-3? So I'm still in the 7-5 camp, but I mean, I can certainly see it if they're actually able to put things together like we've been hoping for around here for a while.
So we were talking, Josh, about the quarterback tier list that came out on The Athletic, and there's like 10 guys in tier one, and then it goes all the way to tier seven. Raiola is in tier three, and Lagway's in tier one. Can you explain why you think that is, given Raiola started all year and Lagway came in midway point? And then also, is it a weird thing to root for him given how creepy the whole Mahomes stuff is?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Great question. I will acquiesce from asking that one. that it's become such a talking point, guys. Like, you know, his entire career at Nebraska, and even in the stuff before that, it's going to be. I think if he doesn't have a breakthrough year, I think that will really become the topic of conversation around here. But I digress. The Lagway stuff I think is really, really interesting. And tell me what you guys think about this. I think with Dylan Raiola, it is now because we have seen him play so much that I think people just, I think they feel that he is what he is, which is wild to say, right? Like he's only a true sophomore. He's going into his second year. He started all 13 games. He was fine. Lagway, though, is there something about him where, hey, look, he went 6-1. He only played in 7 games, like that, or only started 7 games, rather. He played in 12 of them. Like, does that help people because you don't know what you don't know? I always find this to happen with like recruits or a transfer that comes into Nebraska or any other school where it's like, I've never seen the guy at my school. Sky is the limit for him. But if a player returns and he's been so-so, it's like, yeah, well, he's never going to break through. I think that's what it is. You know, I don't know. I mean, we're, 12 months removed from, you know, everyone wondering if Billy Napier was on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. And so I have found that discussion a little bit curious as well. I wasn't surprised that Raiola was as low as he was. He was 40. I was surprised, though, that he was as low as he was and that Lagway was as high as he was, given, I mean, honestly, a lot of similarities in terms of some of their numbers, though Dylan's completion percentage much higher than Lagway. So that one was a little perplexing to me.
Yeah, you look at the games at the end of the year, too. I mean, he played against Ole Miss. They beat him. Remember that in that upset? Yes. He was 10 of 17 for 180 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. So it wasn't like he was lighting the world on fire. And he's a true freshman. I'm not asking you to, but I do find it fascinating. I think your point is spot on about why maybe he's a tier one guy. There's a little more unshaped clay there, if you will, of like, I wonder what this guy could be, whereas we've seen a lot more of Raiola at this point in their career. I am curious to ask you just before we let you go here of, you know, a lot was made of the teams from the West Coast going to the Big Ten, and I know I've done hits with you talking Oregon and Ohio State last year and all that kind of stuff. I'm just, from the Nebraska angle, you guys were the, you know, one of the other new kids on the block, although that was a number of years ago. What has been the perception out there 1 year in of the new West Coast teams and how they fit into the Big Ten?
Well, I'll say this. So I remember last year, I was very bullish on the Ducks being able to compete like they did to win the conference. And it was, we have a Wisconsin listener around town. Shout out to Kyle. And he was like, look, this is ridiculous that you're expecting Oregon to come in and compete for and win a conference. I think he picked them to have like 8-4 or 7-5 season. And I said, how much of this is like the bluster of Nebraska from 2011 kind of infiltrating your brain? Because these are much different programs. And sure enough, the Ducks came in, and obviously it was a disappointing end of the season, but perhaps one of the most impressive first seasons in a power league that we have ever seen in the era of conference realignment. So I came away very impressed by the Ducks, which doesn't surprise me. I am ultra interested in the USC situation and what's going to happen with Lincoln Riley. I mean, guys, we are, what, just a few years removed from him being the guy and wondering, mm-hmm. when's he going to go to the NFL? And, you know, me being a sad sack Dallas Cowboys fan, I was always like, yeah, sign me up for the Lincoln Riley experience. Absolutely not today. UCLA, I mean, the up and down nature of them, they caught Nebraska somehow in November as a underdog. That was pretty strange. And then I think Washington maybe is the biggest question mark for me because, what, 2 years removed now from playing for a national championship. I thought that they held up fairly well against a really good Michigan team, at least for the first quarter or so. And so I think that they are a really interesting program. I I mean, the travel stuff is maybe the biggest kind of big picture thing that I'm wondering about, because last year, going back to the Trojans, you know, they went all the way to Minnesota and they lost that game. And that, I thought that that was like the first time all season where I thought, okay, I think the travel stuff is real, because I think USC should be able to go to Minneapolis and pick up a win versus what I thought was a down Gopher squad. They come to Lincoln this year. I'm interested to see what happens in that matchup. Nebraska goes out to UCLA. I'm interested to see how that goes. So I give it a thumbs up in that it was like fun to see some of the helmet games. I give it a thumbs down in that, you guys know me, I'm a big, I was, RIP, a big Pac-12 guy. I'm sad for Sprague's Beavers. I'm sad for the Cougs.
We're still a conference, dude. At least like, we haven't we died. We're still alive. I mean, geez.
Yeah, that's true. You are still alive. Good luck with Boise State.
Can we get him off now? Like, he's been here long enough. This is ridiculous. It's RIP to a conference that exists. What's going on here?
Yeah, I guess that's true. It is still alive, technically. So I'm sad, though. Like, I like the schools being the league. I'm sad that the conference is not what it once was.
Amen.
It's
amen
better. What do you mean? We've cleaned
they
it up.
They got Fresno State now, dude. They got the riffraff.
We have Colorado
out of there.
State
they
joining
need to get
us.
Get the auto bids in the weird 4-4-2-2 yeah, playoff right. Lane. Give those the two. Kick out the ACC.
Great stuff. Josh Peterson, 1620 in Omaha, at Josh Tweeterson on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Kind enough to join us on YouTube as well. So our audience got a great look at your beautiful face.
Come to Corvallis.
I-80 Club.
Give you one of those miserable losses.
Come
you
on out to Corvallis for a road trip this year, and check out the Chasing 3 Hours podcast as well. Thanks as always, buddy. We're almost there to football season. I'm sure we'll do this again soon, and have fun getting ready for football.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate the time as always.
There you go. Josh Peterson from Omaha.
Jeez.
Take, you okay over there? You all right?
Kick us right in the junk.
Just right there. He's doing a, you know, kick in the junk podcast. He wanted to add it to your beefs. It was a fun thought when he texted this yesterday of like, what are those losses for you?
I don't want to think about those.
You don't
losses.
Want to go down that road? No. I mean, my team was down 34-0 in the Rose Bowl, man. That was pretty bad after a 13-0 start.
Some bad ones.
Also, is this more propaganda or are you excited? That's next on The Fam. I just wanted to remind you that Pelican Brewing always cracks open the Daily Ticker with Pelicano. Discover Pelican's summer seasonal cerveza and drink in refreshment. I will tell you, Pelicano on some of these hot days. Oh, dude, I had the pool set up in the backyard yesterday. I had little inflatable pools for the little guy. Filled it up. It's got all sorts of crap floating around in it at this point. But, man, it was delightful. Cold, little chilly water, hot day. Backyard's got nice shade.
Bubba, when the pool comes out, does Bubba join him?
He just brings, he drops the ball in the pool. And we throw the ball from the pool. So, it just, you know, it's a great activity. Little guy loves it. Dog loves it. I'm sitting there drinking a Pelicano. It's a delightful little afternoon.
Has Bubba taken a back seat?
Oh, yeah. He's in the trunk. I mean, love the guy, but, you know, he's had a hard time with it. You know, he's handling life is not the number one option anymore.
Well, yeah, there's
easy.
A new pup.
There is a new pup.
When
yeah.
it's nap time or bedtime, then does Bubba,
oh, he's
like,
all over
right
me.
In your lap?
All
like,
over me on my lap.
Come on, man.
Now's my time, man.
Play with me again.
I'm not going to get to one I want to get to here.
Bump it. You got to be better on the clock.
I will be butter on the clock. Did I say butter or better? I just wanted to give you a quick update. That
so hungry.
Butter works.
Dude, butter on some
does.
Pancakes.
Butter sounds good right now.
I hate when the butter melts to the point where it completely disappears. I like to see the butter still melting.
You want to be able to use the spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I take a bite of a pancake with butter, I want a little butter scene on my fork.
Oh, now we're talking.
I'm in on that.
Just a quick FYI, here comes Scotty Scheffler on the 18th hole. He's 3-under-1 shot off the lead, and the guy who doesn't care and is maybe a bit of a psychopath after what we learned earlier this week.
Well, raise your hand if you picked him.
No, I didn't. Now's not the time to bet on him because he was the favorite going in, and he's going to be an even bigger favorite
now. Shoffley or Scheffler yesterday?
You said Shoffley,
I think
I
said
thought.
Scheffler.
I think he said Shoffley, and I remember saying, back-to-back, really, that doesn't happen very often.
We don't have time check tape. Okay, we got to move on. Hour two.
Loaded final hour.
Three.
Let's start with, is this more propaganda, or are we intrigued by it? I got some NFL nuggies I want to get to, including a firework mishap that we haven't even talked about yet, but it's going to linger into camp. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego
Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy.
If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.